Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Thinkorswim and TD Ameritrade. I'm Spencer Israel, back from my adventures in the Midwest, and I'm here with Joel Conan and Dennis Dick. Two guests on today's show. First, we got Scott Rattler, the Red Dog. He's the chief strategist at T3 Live and T3 Trading Group. And then at 8:35, we'll be joined by Nick Shaheen, as we are every Tuesday. But first, we have to talk about the strength in oil. The huge move in J&J yesterday, a down day in financials, and a bunch more stocks. Joel, how are we doing in the S&Ps right now?
How was your little extended vacation there in the heart of the Midwest?
It was good. Kansas City, and then it got stranded in Chicago for way longer than I would have thought. But I was telling the guys on the pre-market show that I did see one of my friends who has stock in Under Armour. This is Thursday night, and the first thing he said to me is, "Spencer, what happened to Under Armour?" Well, it was Wednesday, right? He was like, "Why?" He's like, "I don't think the stock is down, but what? Why is the stock down?" So I explained. Thank you, Dennis and Joel, for allowing me to enabling me to explain what was happening, and he was good.
So. Did you tell him to tune in to Benzinga's pre-market prep?
I said, Tim, listen to my show. I don't think he heard me. Okay. By that point, he had tuned me out.
All right. He just, as long as his stock was okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't turn my computer on at home last night because the S&Ps were red, and so I figured there was something wrong with my quotes. But I turned them on this morning here, and the S&P futures are doing what they're supposed to do. They're up 750 here, trading near the intraday high from yesterday. All-time high made in that pre-market session, 2264.75. That could be a target on the upside. On the downside, well, mid-range is 53.5, and also you get some support at the close. Crude hit 54 and change yesterday, sold off, but back in a 53 handle. And no one cares about gold and silver. Gold here at 1160, down 540. Made a new low for the move yesterday, but silver showing a little bit of strength relative to gold here, back over $17. Dennis, how you doing on this chilly Tuesday morning?
I'm alive.
Good.
I'm alive. Alive is good. It is chilly. It's cold. Snow. We got, how much snow did you get?
Was it about, what, 6 to 8 inches?
8 inches, I heard.
We had about the same.
Yeah. Yep.
A little bit of snow, but it's Christmas. It makes it feel more Christmassy here, right?
Yep. All right. So, where's the action at?
Well, we're looking here. The action is really everywhere today. It's interesting. When I'm looking at my scanners, I kind of see all the sectors trading slightly higher, which is a weird one. Usually you see money clearly rotating into one sector, clearly rotating out of another sector. Looking at oil this morning, oil is very strong. You can see ExxonMobil's trading up here as well, as their CEO is looking like Secretary of State. What are your thoughts on this? He just tweeted this out about an hour ago. You got to follow that Trump Twitter account and get all the breaking news. But I'll just read you the tweet. It says, "I've chosen one of the truly great business leaders of the world." And, of course, my screen refreshes right at that time. Tillerson for, I'm just now making it up. I'm not reading it anymore because my screen went away. Okay, reading it quickly. And "I've chosen one of the truly great business leaders of the world, Rex Tillerson, chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil, to be Secretary of State." What do you think of that choice?
I don't know if that one's going to march through Congress right away. I think
could be interesting.
Yeah, that
got to be good for the oil stocks, though, right?
It's good for the oil stocks. A couple things I want to point out here about ExxonMobil. You do have it trading higher in the pre-market session. I don't know if attribute that to Tillerson getting in there. What do you think they can do for the big oil companies or just continuation? Let's give you your pre-market high, in XOM. Did we get to $92 yet? $92.06, that's your pre-market high. Another thing I just want to point out about ExxonMobil yesterday, Dennis, I don't know, where the New York opening print was, but I saw a 90-14 open, I believe, and I saw a 90-14 low. Is that where New York opened it up? Because
I don't know where New York opened. I don't have that system. I don't have that up on my screen there yesterday, but I can see the 90-14 you're talking about, and that was the lows. And we talked about how there's probably some size at 90 probably going to hold down the opening print. Exactly what happened. Didn't hold it quite down to 90. I was challenging whether it would even open over 90. Obviously did open over that, but then it ran. So you saw ExxonMobil open up near the lows. You also saw Chevron open up near the lows and then quickly ran up as well before those stocks did give some back towards the end of the day.
Yeah. The open, you can see, we've talked about that a lot of times. If, you know, get that instant gratification, or if you were trying to short it, you absolutely had no chance at all.
Jumping over here just to some other sectors, the banks finally giving some back yesterday. BAC, don't call it a triple top, but we'll call it a triple top. 3 days in a row right at the same area, 23.25, 23.17, 23.25, and then peeling back, and a lot of your other bank stocks peeling back as well. If you look at stocks, you know you had a lead here from U.S. Steel. Some of the steel stocks started selling off 2 or 3 days ago. They had all been moving up as Trump stocks, so all these stocks kind of moved together. Well, the banks paused for a couple days, tried to hold on, and now they're starting to give it back too. So is it the end of the stock Trump rally? Trump stock rally.
Oh, bite your tongue, Dennis. One thing I just, before we talk about the exact technicals, this kind of illustrates something that we talk about on the show, and that, yeah, you know, you can look at charts and you can, you know, talk about whole numbers and half numbers, but it's really the big institutions or group of institutions that make these highs and lows. And Gil Morales had excellent illustration of that when they're accumulating stocks on the bottom. But here you go. I mean, call it a triple top. 23.24 was your high on Thursday, 23.17 on Friday, and then 23.25 yesterday. So there's either, you know, Warren Buffett, you know, Fidelity, you know, who knows who it is, or a group of institutions that are targeting that 23.25 area. That put that top in. Now the question remains, got a rally going today, trading up 14 cents. Are they going to bring those offers down? Is now 23 going to be the number? They're going to say, oh, I can't get 23.25. I really want to wiggle out of some of the stock before the Fed decision. Will they bring the offers down? I think they will.
I think so, too. I think you've got a few people who are, okay, it's been a little bit. We've been looking for an excuse to sell. Now we get a big red candle here on one day. I think, you know, you get a little pop here in the pre-market. I think it's going to be met with more sellers. I know the European banks, it's going to be the other cat. You look at the European banks, they're trading up significantly here this morning. Deutsche Bank, UBS, all up. Oil's up. That all should be good for the financials. The one thing, though, is that candle was ugly yesterday, and I think you got a lot of people nervous, so I think they might sell this little pop here this morning. I can't say the financial rally is over here, because every time I try to say that, it just keeps going higher, but it looks like there's the potential that there might be a short-term top in.
Excellent point coming in out of from Violin Maker here. He says you could have said that at 20, too, at 20, not at 22, but you know what? I did do that. I did say that at 20. And you know what? When it hung out there for like 3 or 4 days, and Dennis kept on saying, I think the banks are going higher. I think the banks are going higher. I covered. And I, not only did I cover, is I bought some calls, of course, which I sold way too early. But you did. You got to look both ways. If you're using that 20 number in Bank America as your key and you had a couple highs just above it, 2018, 2020, and then boom, boom, 2022, 2014, boom, when it finally busted out of there, got up, you know, close to 21 on the first day. So great point, Violin Maker. Use these levels to look both ways.
Couple differences, though. There was no big red candle in any of those 3-4 days. Actually, those three days, you actually have green candles all those days, meaning that actually the closes were above each other each day. So, you know, that's a significant event. But it's just another thing is we've read up now another 15% since then. We've got the news coming tomorrow. The two-day Fed meeting starts today. I think there could be some nervous Nellies taking profits ahead of that. I don't know what's going to happen after the Fed. It's all going to depend on their comments. If they're a little more dovish than what you think, you know, maybe they would be, they're going to whack them. They're going to whack the financials. If they're a little more hawkish and saying this economy is great and we're probably going up early next year as well, that might be good for the financials. So I think, you know, just if I was, if I'm, and the way I'm going to play it is, I think you might see a little profit taking ahead of the Fed, and then we got to wait to see what the information is that they give us from that Fed meeting. You know, we know they're going up the interest rates, but what is the tone?
What is the tone?
That is the main take from tomorrow's Fed decision.
All right. Excellent point there, especially about that red candle there. That is different. I mean, you did have some red candles around 20, but you need a magnifying glass to see those.
So as weak as the financials were yesterday, we've talked about rotation, and money rotated right back into the area where they were taking it from. Look at the move in Johnson & Johnson yesterday. J&J has had no love, really, ever since Trump came back in. More of a defensive stock, more of a yield play. They came in buying with two hands yesterday, Joel. J&J up 3 points. That was the biggest move for J&J in months.
Yeah, look at that. Higher open, and then never look back. Let's see if we can get the opening print there. Opening print, 1269. That was up 40 cents. Pulled back 11 cents to 12.58, and then if you blinked an eye, it was at 114 here. Kept on going. No trades this morning yet. No one's willing to make a stand here. 115.40, that's the high from yesterday's session. Not a lot in here if you can continue through there. 15.68 was one stopping point. 15.92, that was your high November 18th, and maybe some paper at 116.
All your utility stocks strong yesterday. Southern was up big. DT Energy, Duke Energy, all those coming back. They've all been trashed and thrown out for dead. Well, not yesterday. AT&T, don't call a comeback, but I'll call a comeback. AT&T has come back a long ways since the $36 low that it's put in. It's now $41.12. You start to think, you know, and you look at AT&T as more of a defensive trade, but this one's actually caught a bid here, a sustainable bid really since Trump has come in. A little bit opposite than some of the other yield plays. Its yield's only now 4.77%. What do you think of this big run in AT&T?
I'm thinking I would wish I kept this chart up back in October, the whole month, when putting in that bottom. You talk about, once again, Gil Morales there. You see the accumulation in the stock between 36 and 37. Finally get the breakout. Also, you know, kind of the same thing here. These big stocks do this with big institutional holdings. You know, they consolidate. They hover near an area. You can see where it did it up here at 43.44. And then same down here at the 36. I mean, you know, you could talk about interest rates going up. But when are you ever going to get anything comparable to what the yield that you're going to get in an AT&T? And I mean, I just don't think it's ever going to happen. So that's why I think these stocks that are – or similar stocks or ETFs I have in my portfolio that, you know, I'm not worried about it because I don't see interest rates, you know, spiraling up to 3.5%, 4%. Yeah. I'll never get that money in the bank. People can complain about all they want, but you just, you know, I don't know.
It got a little bit overdone, AT&T, when everybody was buying it from the summer all the way up to the highs when it got up to $44. And there was a healthy correction down to 36. I think 36 was a great buying opportunity. Obviously, I own the stock here, so a little bit talking my book. But at the same time, I agree with you, Joel. I don't think interest rates are flying up four times next year. I don't think going up to 5, 6, 7%, and all these ones that are yielding 5 are going to look massively overvalued. I think interest rates are low for the foreseeable future, and the foreseeable future being, you know, as long as I can see out. So, you know, I don't think we're going up four times next year. And that's why I do think there is a buying opportunity in some of these stocks that, you know, are yielding 5-6%, because I just can't get that kind of yield anywhere else.
Never.
I completely
agree
with you.
Nope, not with inordinate amounts of risk. All right, 8:13 here. We just got a few minutes before our first guest. Not much on the earnings front. What else would you like to cover?
Well, Boeing, quickly talk BA. This stock got hit initially last night. There was some contract thing. And then they came out with the news of the big buyback and the dividend hike. Spencer, you got the details on what Boeing said last night to make this stock fly?
They increased their quarterly dividend from $1.09 to $1.42 per share. Stock buyback.
Huge.
Stock buyback of $14 billion.
Huger.
They're buying that stock right now in the pre-market as we've sprinted. If we sprint it up to 160,
the people are
160.50. That's your high. We are knocking on the door. This will be, if we can stay up here, Dennis, new all-time high, 158.83. That was your high back in February of 2015. Oh yeah, new all-time high here. not a big fan when they jump on news like this. It is fundamental news, but, you know, how it changes earnings. Last point I want to make on this is, you know, be careful when you're following the Trump tweets and, you know, hitting things, because the Donald put the low in Boeing that day when he came out and got to 149 in the pre-market, 150 in the regular session, and now we're 10 bucks higher. All right.
One quick point just before we grab Scott, and I just want to grab an honest stock like Boeing. And this is why contrarian trading is one thing, but this is why I'm a contrarian investor. Because if you look back early 2016, everybody hated Boeing. When it was going straight down from 120, 115, 110, made that low at 102, every person coming on CNBC said, we don't like Boeing here. They're looking at the chart. They're looking at the relative weakness. They're all trading momentum here now. Even the analysts seem to trade momentum here now. And they're all throwing it out. Now, if you listen to them all, they all love it up here. They're going to say today how much everybody on watch, you know, as they come on CNBC, they all come on and say how much we love Boeing, how much we love Boeing. It's up 50 points from the beginning of the year. It's up 33% here now. So now why didn't you like it back at 102? Why didn't you like it back at 110, 120 when everybody hated it? Contrarian investing works.
Yeah, and 102.10, that was the low of the move. Now we're going to take bring our first break of the day and bring in Scott, Red Dog Redler. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alconin, along with Dennis Dick, and got Spencer Israel back behind the glass here. We got Scott Red Dog Redler on the line, chief strategist at T3 Live and T3 Trading Group. Scott, how you doing on this pre-Fed Tuesday?
I am doing great. Thanks for asking.
How's the back?
Back to back is good. I just had my year anniversary on December 7th, so it's been a year since surgery. So feeling good. You know, sometimes when adversity hits, it makes you really appreciate, you know, what you have versus the small stuff. And the road to recovery has been slow, but now I'm pain-free. I'm doing races with my son. And, you know, the smaller things that make me happy. I don't need to do an Ironman again in order to feel fit. Just want to feel healthy.
Stay in the pool. That's my advice for you. All right. Big Fed meeting tomorrow. And your thoughts here, how hawkish they will be. You know, Dennis and I were, you know, just talking about that before you came on. How many times are they going to hike? But, you know, give us your opinion on that. And then, man, what are you going to do with all that Bank America stock you own at $5?
I think that was $8, actually. But thanks for bringing that up. You know what? It's really kind of uneventful, right? Everyone's been talking about it, how it's 100% priced in, you know, a quarter raise. At this point, like you said, how hawkish are they going to be? They could definitely be very hawkish, considering, you know, you have extended markets, global rallies, strength in oil. So they might want to cool things off just a little bit. You know, a real surprise would be if they go a half, which I think they should do, but they're not going to do that. They haven't worked this hard keeping things so accommodated for so long. But I think they go at least two, maybe three, and they could definitely do another one and indicate another one in June. You know, so at this point, you know, what I think is more interesting really on Wednesday is the Trump tech summit to figure out whether or not, you know, he's going to be shaking hands with all of them and then bringing the queues to new highs to help fuel the next move, or, you know, will he come out of there, you know, a little abrasive?
Yeah, that should be interesting. So let's just talk about the financials here. You know, you've had a run up in some of these stocks. I mean, JP Morgan is just obliterated its all-time high. You know, Bank America's come crawling back here.
What do you mean crawling?
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, I just look at it from the perspective of its, you know, from its all-time high. But, you know, what do? Do you sit tight with these stocks through the meeting, sell some out of them, you know, some calls if you can get any premium out of them? What's your take? I mean, Dennis and I have been trying to call top in these for the last couple of weeks to no avail. A little weakness yesterday. What do you think about these financials?
Well, you know my rule. If you're above the 821 day, you try and be long. If you look at actually at Bank of America, Bank of America has been above the 821 day pretty much since above 1650. Okay, and then pretty much reignited above 1750. So since then, you know, there's no reason to be short when things are above the 821 day. You can look for cute shorts with the red door reversal, or you did get an outside day, just say in Bank of America yesterday, where it went above a prior high, closed below the prior low. So that's like a little small signal, you know, to be short some on a very short-term time frame. But, you know, these trends are real, real strong, and you need a lot more data to figure out whether or not they're a real short or they're just resting. And as far as investors are concerned, you know, most sales have been bad sales, but again, you can't get hurt booking profits. But, you know, I would think that these things continue into next year. You might see some profit taking in the start of January when they could sell some and, you know, pay taxes in 2018 yep. versus December, you know, for next year. It all depends.
Just moving on here, talking about the spider and the S&P futures, one thing that, you know, I've really noticed is that on some of these days we're making an all-time high, but it's just not by a few ticks or a few handles. I mean, you know, 10, 15, 20 handles. What kind of insight does that give you into the strength of this bull market?
Well, if it's getting a little feisty, it's getting a little feisty. You know, like I don't think anyone was really expecting last week when the S&P cash took out 2214, that wide range bar would take you up to, you know, 2240. But then again, you never really need to know where it's going to go as long as you do the right adjustment. When the spiders themselves took out that prior pivot, okay, 221.82, that was a spot. If you were short the market, you needed to cover. You've been fighting this trend and taking out, you know, 219.60, either making the decision to cover or you're rolling it up and you'll be blowing yourself up. If you're looking for continuation to that move that rested for a good 2 weeks, that was your breakout. So I think, you know, some wide range bars on volume, you know, are healthy. And, you know, obviously it hurts if you're short, but, you know, everyone has the same pivots to watch and the same time to make their adjustments. Right now, I think short term, we're a little extended from the 8 day. And I would think that on an active level, what you could use is, you know, 2252, which is your short-term active support. But I do think that you can't really think that anything's going to change, you know, because we could even test 2233 and still be in a very, very healthy trend. That's only the 8 day. So I think at this point, you know, the trends are intact and you don't want to fight it. It's better to look for a dip to buy than a cute short that can make you look ugly if you're not disciplined enough to cover when levels get taken out.
Scott, that is Dick here. I just want to talk to you about the oil stocks because these things have been on an incredible run here. We get the OPEC deal. We get the big move up in the USO. We get the move up. It's a lot of the oil names here as well. I mean, ExxonMobil breaking out over the critical $90 level here now. Chevron's within shouting distance, really. You're starting to get into all-time highs. It was up at 130, but, I mean, it's been an incredible comeback since the beginning of the year when the stock was down at 80. What are you thinking of some of these big oil stocks? Is it too late to get in here now, or would you be buyers of pullbacks here?
Well, last week I posted on Twitter two charts, one of Halliburton and one on XOM. They were two very different charts, one being a low-level base, right? You look at XOM's chart. XOM did absolutely nothing from August all the way through to December, and 88 was a key level, and it broke above 88, and now you're at 92. That's a great tradable setup. Now you're at 92 on day four up. Do I think you buy it? No. You have to wait. You missed it. Same thing with Halliburton and some of these guys. You know, they had nice bull flags. After OPEC came out, these oil names all had a big move, and then they just consolidated for, you know, a week, and then they gapped up yesterday into the, you know, the news over the weekend. So it all depends on your threshold for pain and your patience. But, you know, you didn't really need much patience. Once XOM got above 88, you had a nice 3 day move. As far as oil concerned, I think oil is going to be $60 in the first quarter of 2017, so I would be a buyer dips.
Tech stocks have been a tough read here. I mean, some of these techs, and if you look at the bigger ones like the Facebooks and the Amazons, they've been kind of out of favor here a little bit. And then you look at some of the traditional ones like Microsoft was breaking out and actually making new highs on the move here recently, a new all-time highs. So you've kind of got a mix in the tech sector. What do you think of tech stocks overall coming into the end of the year?
Well, you said it, stock selection. You know, you got to, it's haves and have-nots. Not every stock is, you know, created equal. You know, you have Microsoft, like you said, at all-time highs. Then you have Apple just struggling to stay above the 50-day. I think, again, this Wednesday is going to be very critical. This tech summit that's happening, if all of a sudden, you know, President-elect Trump comes out and shaking Jeff Bezos' hands and it looks as if they're, you know, buddy-buddy again. Amazon, that was a little beat up because of the rhetoric going into the election, you know, could play some catch-up. You saw Google take back the 50-day. I think the Qs, if you look at that horizontal channel, as long as it holds above like 118.50, I think the next breakout above 119.50 is going to be sustained, and that's probably going to be the next sector to fuel maybe down to even 20,000. So at this point, you know, it's been a nice, healthy rotation. Everything's not going at once, which gives traders a little bit of time to move around, look for a sector to go and then flag and then go again versus just streaky to the upside, because that creates the pain trade where people, all they want to do is short something up 8 days versus looking for a tight setup to, you know, expand. So at this point, I think, you know, Wednesday is going to be pretty important, you know, or Wednesday, Thursday for the Qs and tech. And I'm going to look for signs to see whether or not, you know, Amazon could turn up and play a little catch up if he comes out, you know, with a smile and a handshake on Wednesday.
Let's move on here. I mean, you know, you're talking about your setups here, but you're still, you know, you're still trying to look for a low risk short here in the market. I see that you have some call option positions left over, some spider shorts, and if you see if you have to cover your spider short today. I mean, you're taking a shot up here, but it's very well defined risk. You know where your out is. So let's talk about those positions.
Well, on Friday I went out short the IWM and the spiders, but I was also long a lot of options, and I sold a lot of things into Friday's strength. So I'm like, let me see if I can find the cute short. The Russell showed a little relative weakness. So yesterday you had the IWM break below Friday's low, so that was a good continuation short. So I did that and took it off yesterday. I was only looking for a day and a half, and then you had a small doji in the spiders. So I thought maybe the spiders would do what the IWMs did, but now today we're up 5-6 handles. So not going to fight it. I made money on half of it. I held half of it. If we get above 226.96, I'm going to cover my spider short, and I'll stick with my 4 or 5 option plays that, you know, have defined risk, and then I'll see if I could put on some things to hold. I've been holding 6-7 longs pretty much since the S&P took out the 50-day at 21.46, but I got rid of a lot of them late last week because, you know, I thought perhaps, you know, we need a little bit of a break, and that's actually when I was in the oil names that took the baton. But I thought on Monday, which was yesterday, that they got a little extended, so I took them off. So I'm trying to stay with things for like, you know, 2-3 days and, you know, keep moving my feet so I don't chase things, but I'm also not fighting things.
Let's talk about some of your option positions here. You got a few calls out there. You're long Amazon. I mentioned that a little bit. Trying to recover, been a little left over. What are you looking at? I mean, I see three tops here. It looks like if we can clear those, got a little more upside. What do you have on in Amazon?
Amazon, I just bought yesterday. Amazon, I figured, yeah, Okay, you know, let me buy a little weakness so I could buy them on the bid, not pay the spreads and the options. So I went out not just Friday, the following Friday, which I'm anticipating. I'm not, you know, if it's not a clear-cut, good-looking trade, I won't buy the stock. If it's a good-looking setup, I'll buy the stock versus the options. So for Amazon, that's not saying right now that it's ready to break out and go. I'm like, let me buy some calls just in case the setup's not there intraday, and I'll buy more calls if it can get up and clear 773 on Wednesday, Thursday for a move back to the 50-day, which is in the 790s, which Google already did. If you also look, I have some calls on in Europe. Okay, Europe actually I like as a fundamental and technical play. Europe, I went long in the EWG calls, which was for the proxy for Germany, the Friday before the Italian referendum, and I tweeted it out there. I actually sold half because the 25s, there were 45 cents, went to $1.20, and now I'm in half, and if you look at the bull flag in the EWG and you look at the descending trend line there, you know, there's no reason why this thing can't get to 27 come the end of this month, and then even get to higher prices first quarter 2017. So I think you could have some exposure to EWG and HEDJ. I did it through calls because it was a binary event, but now that that event's out of the way and the Italian banks are acting better, I think Europe's going to be a little bit of a tailwind. So people should do a little bit of work and grab some catch-up there since Germany, I think, is still even down 3% on the year.
All right, finally, real quick here, Twitter, you're hanging in there. Boy, what a trading range, consolidation. What you set up in Twitter?
You know, I bought the $18 calls after it got punished somewhere, I think, so somewhere around, I don't even know, the stock was trading like 1850, so I'm kind of nowhere on it. When it had that move to 19 and change, I sold the third just because the date is running out for next Friday. Again, this is a broken name, so I go with options because I don't like the way it trades. I thought maybe after getting hit from 25 back down to 18, someone might come in and swoosh it up there for 22 because that might have been the price they were looking at it before the streak got, you know, carried away. So at this point, you know, it's going to need another year. I doubt something happens before the end of the year. I do think, though, there is value in there, and except for in broken names, I don't like to just sit in the stock. I'd rather go out 3 months and buy in the money calls, and if something works, it works. If not, but you know, it did look decent a few days ago when it got above the 50-day and got above the 200-day, but yesterday was one of those days where it just said, hey, I'm Twitter. I kind of a broken name, and I don't trade that well.
All right. Scott Red Dog Redler, Chief Strategist at T3 Live and T3 Trading Group.
Wait, before let Scott go, I want to mention Scott has a webinar real quick today at 4:30 Eastern. I'm going to throw the link into the chat right now. So Scott Redler's end of the year webinar, right, Scott?
Yep, it's a webinar where I kind of go over the technical patterns that we just saw, the ones that I'm looking forward to in 2017, some of the plays of the 2016 report, and some of the things I'm eyeing to put into 2017. So it's a good educational piece on technicals, on rules, and I'll also throw a few fish in the boat. And you know, besides teaching you how to fish, if you tune in and take the time, it starts at 4:30 today. And you know, if I'm here spending the time and you feel like you need some education and you want a little insight, you might as well log in because it's free.
And it's t3live.com for our podcast listeners. All right, thanks a lot, Scott.
All right,
thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Scott. Angie Baby is talking here about AKAO having a nice run up here. You got a Needham upgraded to a buy. Bunch of news in it yesterday. Bumping up here against $15. Looks like it pausing here at $15. I'm looking here at some of the longer-term charts, and not much until you get over 16. 17:31, June of 2014 high. So that's your big gainer this morning.
Yeah, yesterday your big move. You're getting follow through here, obviously, on it today, too. It's going to be one of the big moves. Already traded 904,000 shares. Ace been pounding the table on it in the chat there as well. So AKO moving up big time here. Again, this is not one of the stocks that are in my wheelhouse. I like more boring stocks than this, but there's definitely some money to be made if you're on the right side of these trades.
All right, 833. Anything in imbalance here as the S&Ps are still trading up? $7 at 57.50.
Couple interesting ones. Hewlett Packard, 186,000 to sell HPQ. I didn't see any news on that. Maybe there is, Spencer, because it was trading right a little bit ahead of this. It's a stock we haven't looked at in a long time, and it is definitely the definition of boring. It's put in a couple multiple tops up there just above 16. It had a little bit of a tough open yesterday, but then came back towards the end of the day here. Joel, what do you think of this HPQ chart?
Knock it on the door here at 16 and a quarter. I mean, it's just a level that you have to pay attention to. Use it as a potential short area down at 15.86 now. I mean, thing is a few times it got over 16, it really had trouble. Well, one day it closed above it. But, respecting that resistance, I guess it's a new all-time high based since the split. So use that 16 and a quarter as resistance until it breaks out.
Banks are giving back a little bit here. They were up stronger. Now they've started to come back in a little bit. But Bank of America, 118,000 to buy. Citigroup, 69,000 to sell. So that's significant. Citigroup just turned to the red. All of these stocks were trading massively in the green earlier here, but some of them are coming back. I do have pair trades on in Bank of America and Citigroup there. I've just got those paired against each other. That's just overnight stuff. Just looking elsewhere, a little bit of the buy imbalances here in gold. AT&T, 50,000 to sell. That's significant because the stock had a big run up there yesterday. But overall here, it's just kind of mixed. They're pretty small.
All right. We are going to take our second and final break of the day and bring in Nick Shaheen, our options expert, author of Create Income with Option Spreads. We'll be right back with Nick.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Elkanen, along with Dennis Dick, and we have Nick Shaheen on the line. He's an options expert and the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Nick, how you doing on this Tuesday morning?
Doing great. I just signed into the chat room. I forgot to do that earlier, so now I'm ready.
Okay, you're ready, and you're ready to talk about the two-day Fed meeting. What are the implications for that, and what are you doing with all those bank stocks that you're long?
Okay, I wish. The Fed obviously is the center of attention this week, even though everybody's looking for higher highs. But I have a few questions to them. Will they chicken out? They have so far, and I don't know how the market will react to that. So it's basically a binary event. We don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know how we're going to react to it. I knew what was going to happen in the election. I just didn't know how we were going to react to it. So complete guesswork at this point, the big picture there. As far as will they chicken out? Will they go, like Scott mentioned earlier, will they go 50 versus a quarter that was expected? And how will the market react to that? Will they offer a dot plot that's a little more bearish than before? Like maybe say, okay, we're going to raise now and we're going to have to raise two or three times next year. I don't know if the market will like that either. Or will they say one and done? The market will love that. What will they say about the current higher rates? How will that force their hand, if any? And how is inflation looking relative to all these changes? Will they say it's too soon to see the effect, et cetera? So there's a lot in the air, and the market is going to look to read into it, and it's guesswork as to how we're going to react. However, Dennis helped me push a little test of the Twitter sphere as to how people will react, and it seems like two-thirds will buy the market regardless. So unless there's a headline that's going to scare them, the status quo could probably continue into the new year.
And the financials, Bank of America, JP Morgan, incredible runs here. Any technical thoughts on these issues?
I can't get behind Dennis. You mentioned you'd like the contrarian thing if he's still with us. I don't like everybody being in agreement about one thing, like in unison. Everybody knows, and I put knows in quotes, that the financials are going higher. I'm not saying short them with both hands, but I just can't get behind inside the bus when it's already full. And
They're hanging outside the bus, Nick. They're like,
yeah, they're exactly.
It's like those, over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're hanging. People hanging on top and outside the bus, and hanging off to people that are hanging on the bus. You're hanging on to that guy's back.
The problem is the guys, now hang on the windshield. And the bus can't see where it's going.
So it's an Yes. Okay. I'm not a financial expert as far as expert in the financial stocks, but there's too much exuberance that came too fast. So I don't mind missing the upside a little bit. But if I wanted to participate, call spreads would be probably the safest. And how do I do it? Usually, if I'm not sure, I do it at the money, because this way I only need to guess the direction and I'm in the green. But yesterday they were red for the first time in a while, I think. So today is important, what they do. So that was my point on the financials. I wanted to see how the financials handle today, and because we're probably going to see new highs in something. And what would the oil do now? The oil now, okay, it's green. My goal was for it technically from a few weeks ago was 58 to 60 because it had the technical setup, but it needed the trigger. It got the trigger, and it didn't get there, and it failed yesterday's top. Now we're a lot lower. So today they need to prove that, okay, we can inch our way back to it and continue on to that 60 that everybody's expecting. So oil is important. Meanwhile, there's another rabbit that could step up, which are the megatechs, like Apple. It seems like last week the buzz was Apple's going to like 119, 120. So therein lies the other bogey that it could come out of nowhere, that they want Apple higher. How much higher than 114 can they take it is a question mark. And of course, we'll take the markets with it.
Nick, two-day Fed meeting starts here today. We just asked Scott Red Dog Redler about the two-day Fed, what he thought about it. What's the Nick Shaheen thinking, and how is he playing his options going into today, tomorrow's big Fed decision?
Well, I want to be long with something. I'm not going to be completely short. So if I wanted to short anything, I'm not shorting short term. So like yesterday was the first day I shorted the small caps midday, and I actually had greens that lasted more than a minute. So how did I do it? I bought put spreads at the money, and then I sold credit call spreads way above the money, way out in time, and they were both green towards the end of the day, and I booked some because I knew it wasn't going to last. And sure enough, this morning it looks like, had I kept them, I would have been back to square one. So if I short anything, I do it very cautiously. And the cautious way to do it is either debit put spreads at the money and out in time, because they cost the same if they're at the money now or out in time. And also, if I wanted to short it another way by credit call spreads, instead of fighting the battle right here in the trenches, I'd rather go back to headquarters and get the binoculars, meaning I go out in time, go way above the current price, and do a credit call spread, which is very spread. So I can do both. Then I'm short for free, except for adding risk at the upside. So,
Nick, you made the comment about they want Apple higher. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I first of all, it's rhetoric from last week and this Monday, and Monday, what's today? Tuesday, yeah, Monday. And also from what's in the options market, the changes that happened in the open interest in the options market, and that's reading the tea leaves from last week into this week. So my gut is that they are trying to push higher the Apple, and you can see it in the price action if you pull up the price action. Plus, yesterday we had that funky candle that pushed it to 115.
Yeah. Right?
So every time, I shouldn't say every time, I can't document that, but often enough when I've mentioned, mark that funky candle. It's like somebody, a market maker goes, oops, sorry, I showed you a preview of the price where it's going to go. And, you know, ahead of time, it happens on the downside. It happens on the upside. I know it's ridiculous, but we'll see. That's my gut on Apple. So if there is somebody that needs to step up, it's Apple, and probably drag the ES and the NQ with it. And so I won't short them short term. So you cannot convince me to take a credit call spread for this week. You can convince me to take calls. And I still have some shorts on. So if they decide to go the other way, I'm not getting blown out. It's a binary event. So what does that mean? You guys mention it every once in a while. It's 50-50. So it's gambling more than investing. So I can't put big money behind it. Like Scott was saying, he had marks, you know, he had, if it does this, I do that. If it does this, I do that. He's not just buying, hoping the outcome will go his way.
Yeah, excellent point here. Are you ready to call a stop, top in U.S. Steel here? Big run, three red candles in a row here. Backed off from 39.14 to 34.78. you wait for a little pop here, or do you just try and go with the trend? I mean, this thing was at 1750 before. I mean, come on. Do you think the earnings are going to be able to support this kind of run-up in the stock?
Well, I don't track steel itself. So if you overlay the steel prices, they'll probably track that. If so, then it's impressive because the dollar is spiking. So the dollar, I see it could go a lot higher than now. People are saying, oh, it's pretty high. Well, you know, technically, it could go a lot higher. And so can rates, which means the TLT could blow up too. So steel, I don't know how it tracks the actual the price of the stuff they use. So I wouldn't chase it here. If I wanted to, if somebody takes put spreads in it, I wouldn't fault them for doing so, because this is a sharp rise and the line below it is easy to break. And if it does break, there are a whole bunch of open gaps below. So I don't know how low can they take it. And it's trading out of range, meaning if you just take the simple regression, it's so far, you know, the term regression to the mean, you know, reverting to the mean, it's got to do it at some point. It can't just go straight up.
Nick, what are your thoughts here on Twitter? I was looking at this chart last night, trying to decide if I'm going to buy this thing if it gets back to $18 here again. I mean,
I have to? Did I have to give you the lesson again on Twitter? I mean,
because I don't know what to do here. I'm looking at it, and I've been looking, and I was like, if it gets back to 18 again, I might try. But then you think about it, it's been on that 18 level so many times. I don't know if it gets down there again, maybe it goes through it.
Okay, so do you love it here?
No, I like it at 18.
You like it at 18?
So I got to sell. So I should be selling the puts.
Sell the 18 put. Collect $1.50. And they're paying you to buy it at a discount if you love it at 18.
What strike do you go out to get $1.50?
This is March. So it's a long-term play.
I'll get $1.50 on the 18.
Do it, Dennis. Right. Do 10 of them.
Whenever you talk me into options, I lose money.
If you go to June and go to 15, you almost collect a buck for it. Catch it on a red day, you collect a buck. So you have until June to and you're staying long Twitter. So $1 divided by 15, that's like making up your own dividends, and you don't even own the stock. The worst that could happen, of course, exactly, you're going to be put the stock at 15, and if it goes to zero, you're off $15. But if you like it here and considering 18, 1890, 1850 entry point, well, 15 should be a no-brainer. Now, if you're really bullish, you sell that and you buy the calls, and then you're long for free.
It's such a simple concept. It makes so much sense because you have defined risk. You're using someone else's money to finance your position, and
They tell you, you know, most options expire worthless, which I think it's an oversimplified statement. It's not as easy as that. But in this is where you have the situation where you're actually selling the option, so time is on your side. So you're the market maker here. Of course, again, the big asterisk is when I sell a naked put, I am able and willing to own it at that strike price, even if it goes way below it.
I want to ask you one more, and we don't talk a lot about the IBB. Kind of been all over the map here with Hillary, you know, anticipation of the Hillary victory, and then Trump comes out. He says he's, lowering drug prices. I mean, where are you looking at this thing, the IBB? I mean, not at the under 250, still kind of no man's land. Any thoughts on biotech fundamentally or technically long term?
Well, they seem to be hated by everybody. So this is a bounce area for them. And it is also a must bounce area. And it's not a hard line in the sand, like 260 to 250. It gets there and it bounces higher. And it's choppy in trading. I just posted a chart in there. You can see it chops and then it spikes and chops down and it spikes. So I can't chase it a lot higher from here technically. But if it does get and take out 300, then it becomes technically significant for the momentum buyers. But here, they're probably looking to see if it's going to bounce. So if I am bullish the biotech sector, and there shouldn't be a reason why I should be much bearish the biotech sector from here, specifically unless the market in general corrects, then I can do some credit put spreads in it out in time if it's liquid enough. Last time I tried it, I didn't find it that liquid, so it might be difficult to execute the spreads and get prices. But if they take out the 250s, then I'd be worried about the 220s. But so far, they've been bouncing around these recent lows. So keep it on your radar. If you know anything about it, about particular names, it's probably easier and better to do specific spreads on the names themselves. But I caution you, this is a volatile sector. Headlines can blow them away or blow them out of the water, like to the moon. We've seen a couple, like OPHT. Sorry, Michelle. They were, you know, expecting, I think Michelle said it's either going to be 90 or 9, and unfortunately it was the lower end of it. So be cautious. It's probably safer to play it with debit spreads rather than credit spreads, and with some intelligence to the insight of the actual fundamentals of the particular companies.
All right. Two quick charts here. Thoughts on the RH downside continuation, Restoration Hardware.
Oh, boy. I mean, they try every time, and there's no way you can convince me to go along that. How about that?
All right. And Bristol Myers.
BMY. Whoops.
Ooh, sleepy here. Look at that chart.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, fundamentally, is it bad? I know they had some bad flubs lately, but technically, it looks like if it can take out 57.5, maybe, and if a little bit above that, it could invite some buyers to try to reattack the 60 and that 61 area. And there, from there, you know, fundamentals should kick in at some point there. They do pay a dividend. And so how does that get impacted with a rate hike? I don't know. There's that dynamic. But technically, I don't mind somebody trying to go along this, you know, well-known name.
All right, Nick Shaheen. He comes on the show every Tuesday. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Thanks a lot, Nick. We'll talk to you again next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Thanks, Nick.
851. S&P's up now 8 points here. 5950 is your current high. 59 even was your intraday high for yesterday. We'll keep an eye on that all-time high, 2264.75.
Banks have went red. Now they're trying to go back green. So they are bouncing around here. It's going to be one of your volatile sectors here. So not taking the lead really from Europe here this morning as we are starting to give some back. And I think, just like we were saying, I think there could be some profit taking here. Institutions is looking at that bounce as an opportunity to, you know, maybe book a few profits ahead of tomorrow's meeting. Now, after tomorrow's meeting, who knows, though?
All right. Any other movers or really no earnings stocks? We pretty much have covered that.
There's always movers, though. So it depends on what kind of mover you want. Well, let's talk here. Deutsche Bank came out with a note here this morning, and they're saying that the party in the Staples is over, and they're downgrading Coca-Cola. They're downgrading Procter & Gamble. Both of those stocks trading weaker. I feel like they're late to the party. I feel like, you know, the party was over a while ago, or the party might be starting again. But, you know, that's just me thinking. Coke is down here this morning, though, on this downgrade. Procter Gamble down as well. Coke has had a nice lift the last couple days. Procter Gamble lifted nice yesterday too. So Deutsche Bank is looking at this rally as to take some profits. What are your thoughts?
Coca-Cola got the big bump over the change in the C-suite here. 42 got out to 42.22. That was on Friday. Stopped at 42.01 on Monday. So big move up from the $40 level. 42 is the bogey now. You know, if you can clear the paper out there, get above 42, I think you got another leg higher. Now I respect the resistance. Procter and Gamble. Haven't taken a look at this chart in quite some time. Let's see how PG. I don't know. I mean, downgrading it now as it's starting to turn the corner, I'm not sure about that one. Major support just under 82. Low of the move was a quick move down. Where was that? To 81.18. Not much in the book here. Let's see if we could clear yesterday's high at 85.18. Then you might be taking a look closer towards 86. 85.70 was your high November 10th.
We did have one earnings stock here, Verifone Systems, PAY. Stock is down 2% in the pre-market. They reported earnings there last night. Spencer, what did Verifone have to say?
Q1 revenue, $450 million versus $471 million. Estimate EPS, 20 cents. Versus 36 cents. They do see their fiscal year 17 adjusted EPS at $1.35 to $1.39. $1.59 was the estimate, and sales at $1.9 to $1.915 billion versus $1.92 billion estimate.
It's been such an ugly stock for a long time here. I mean, 15's the level. That's the level it needs to hold. I didn't see where it got down to after hours last night, Joel. What was the low?
1543. That was your pre-market 15. Low. Yep. Back above $16 here.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Had some tight consolidation ahead of the earnings with multiple highs ups in the 16 handle. 1675. That would be if we're really going to rally mode. Sellers were there the last 4 or 5 days. Actually, 1, 2, 3, last 6 days. A lot of highs at the 1675 area. Keep an eye on that. The lows Dennis is returning to in the $15 handle. 1561. We took that out by 20 cents. I'm still respecting that level. And then you can see the other support, 1510. And then major support at the lows of the move, right at 1496 to 1504. So big move here. Well, not a big move off the earnings here. I don't think you'll see that pre-market low, and great resistance is 1675.
One sector we didn't talk about here was the defense stocks, and they got murdered yesterday. General Dynamics, NOC, Lockheed Martin were all down significantly at the open off another Trump tweet. I mean, right now, the mover and the shaker is that Trump Twitter account. You got to be watching that. That can't be bad for Twitter, but Trump tweets out yesterday morning, the F-35 program costs is out of control. Billions of dollars can and will be saved on military and other purchases after January 20th. So on that tweet, you saw Lockheed Martin just get murdered, and the NOC and General Dynamics. It did come back towards the end of the day, and it's just interesting because these three stocks had been straight up because you're thinking they're Trump stocks, and now all of a sudden it looks like, whoa, you know, maybe he's going to be cutting, you know, some of the purchases from some of these companies, and maybe these aren't Trump stocks.
Yeah, and let's just took a look at GD, General Dynamics. Oh, wow, way off the low. Let's see if that low was made in the regular session.
It washed out, and then they came back, you know, and that's just, you know, a capitulatory move there where everybody, there's not a lot of liquidity on the open. We talk about that all the time, and people just say, panic sell, and that's what it was. Trump tweets out, it's like, I got to get out of my Lockheed Martin, just sell me at the open, just get me out of this stock. And the stock is not a lot of bids in there. And it goes 251, 250. I'm looking at LMT at the open yesterday. And it trades all the way down to 245 before finally, you know, rational heads prevail and the stock actually starts to bounce. But, you know, those three stocks, General Dynamics, too, same story. Opens around 173, quickly falls to 168 before bouncing towards the end of the day. Sometimes those panic sells in the morning are not the best time to execute.
And, you know, keep in mind, he put the low in Boeing, you know, with that tweet, went down under 150. Never saw that in the regular session. And now, I'm not sure, last time I looked at it, it was up near 160.
I got a stock. This is from our YouTube chat. Can we look at BGS? B&G Foods?
BG.
Sure.
Oh, not doing too good here. What did they do? Not very good food. Do we have any news on them?
No news. Just
really.
No.
Oh, there is news.
There was no news yesterday.
Not that I see.
That totally looks like it had to be some type of news. I mean, these food stocks just don't move like that. That's an incredible move. I'm just trying to see, you know, what I see too there in the news. So BGS fell 5%. There was a downgrade, but yeah, you're right. There wasn't really nothing jumping out. Oh no, Green Giant. Weakness cited. Somebody cited some Green Giant weakness yesterday.
Yep, Green Giant.
Oh, ho, ho, Green Giant. Yeah. So, anyways, 43.20 is where it got down to. What do you think of this? This is 4.31% dividend. So it's kind of, you know, a stock where, you know, you're looking at where we talk about on the off the hop, where dividend plays, you know, you're looking at it long term. It's a nice dividend, Joel. Is this something you'd look at, or is this just too much air below?
I don't mind this one. I mean, it's had a nice, steady uptrend here since long term. I'm just looking at this move from 39, just over 46. Let's call it 7.5, 42.5 area. I'm liking this. I'd say from 42 to 42.5. I like it. It's a retracement from the rally here. I like the yield. You're filling a gap here that you had. I don't know. With the thrust that it came down yesterday, I don't know if the double bottom at 43 is going to hold because you had a 43 even, 43.15. So I'll see what happens there. Big down move. But I like this thing in the 42 handle, 42, 42.5. And, you know, if you want to do a longer-term trade on it, you know, use that double bottom, the low of the move. But once again, 50% retracement, 39.10 was your double bottom. So kind of a classic pullback here. For B&G Foods.
So 8:59 here. Yep. Just one more look at the imbalances before we close out the show. The Bank of America buy imbalance has grown. The Citigroup sell imbalance has grown. So two stocks going in the opposite direction. Citi 100,000 to sell. Bank of America 267,000 to buy. The banks have been bouncing all over the place here this morning. Nike 56,000 to buy. Stock we haven't talked about for a while. NKE has been putting in some consolidation just under $52. The other ones are pretty small. Alibaba, 31,000 to buy. I've seen a couple of gold miners, 107,000 to buy Barrick Gold, but pretty small. Still 30 minutes before the open.
Did I mention that I don't like the new Nike gear that Michigan has? Did I mention that on the show?
Anyway, that's it for us today. On tomorrow's show, Harlan Payen is joining us. He's the founder of Amazing Power Patterns. Joel, what's the thing you always say about Harlan?
You're not lying.
With Harlan Payen?
Yeah,
okay. We got Harlan on. Also, we're going to be joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Tommy Lackey. So, that's it for us today. If you missed any part of the show, including our chats with Nick or Scott, catch the whole thing. Right now on YouTube, it's live to record. Also, we post the podcast, which is edited slightly for space on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. So, don't forget to do that. And, that's it. Please remember that all the information, material, and content from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. Hope everyone has a good rest of your day, and we'll be back with you guys tomorrow morning.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.